Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Biotexperten podcast. Today's episode will be in English. Algae are considered the origin of all life, formed in the ocean about 4 billion years ago in the form of tiny single-celled blue-green algae that use sunlight as an energy source. Microalgae has great potential, for example, as ingredient for cosmetics. It could make many products greener and more sustainable. Today's guest in our podcast, Rita Mota, is a true expert on algae. Hello and welcome. Today's episode is about microalgae, and my guest is Rita Mota. She is senior researcher and project leader at ACIP. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for taking the time, Rita.
Thank you, Sophie. Thank you for the invitation to be here to talk to you.
Can you just maybe quickly tell us about your career path? How did you end up here today?
Sure. So I have my degree and my master's in the University of Porto from Portugal. That's where I'm from. And I started working with this subject for my master's thesis in the Institute of Molecular and Cell Biology from the University of Porto. And then eventually I continue to my PhD. And for my first postdoc at Institute of Research and Innovation in Health, it's called I3S, which is a consortium who integrated the previous institute, the IBMC. And then eventually I started this position in ACIP, the Austrian Center of Industrial Biotechnology in Austria, and I had the opportunity to continue with my projects.
So today we're talking about cosmetics and personal care products. And the cosmetics that we use every day contain petrochemical synthetic-based polymers. Can you explain what are these synthetic polymers at first and what is so dangerous about them?
Yes. So, well, luckily nowadays there's a more like awareness, like globally, all over the world, of the of all the materials that we have been using, especially in our body, in the case of the cosmetics and our personal care products, and also the impacts and the risks of the use of some of these compounds, mostly the ones that are from the petrochemical industry, so on synthetic polymers, basically. And there are several. They can be carbomers, acrylates, polyesters, waxes. So they are being used for different applications. It depends on the formulation that we are talking about, but mostly to be more stable, the compounds, to have like the proper texture at the end. So there's several applications that can be used. And well, we have been also heard about the problem of the accumulation of these compounds in environments, especially like in the aquatic ecosystems that can be then consumed by the fish or by the seafood, and this all come back to our body, but also to the negative impacts in the human health, like directly when we apply them in our skin, especially obviously if you are thinking about prolonged applications. And that can lead us to toxicity, to skin problems like rashes or pimples, or even to hormonal changes, and later on in really extreme cases that can lead to cancer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how can microalgae be a solution to this problem? Because this is basically what your research is all about.
Exactly. So, well, for sure we need like novel and a so-called like greener and sustainable solutions to tackle all these needs that we have in our daily days and in our society. And we can actually find these solutions in nature. In plants, in bacteria and fungi, but also in algae, which is like an incredible diverse group. And here we can find a lot of solutions for a lot of different applications, but also for the cosmetics and the personal care products in general. Mm-hmm. And here we can have two different, they can be used as two different major group of ingredients, let's call it like that. So we have the so-called like sensory ingredients that it's important like to create different textures that we have in a final products, because we have lotions, gels, so these emulsions, so they are all different, so they need like ingredients to stabilize these final formulations. And then we also have like the specialized functional ingredients. So there will be like active compounds with biological activities like anti-aging, antioxidants, anti-inflammatory. And we can find all of these in algae in general, because algae is like, they have like a really composition of many different compounds. In the cell, so in the cell we have proteins, sugars, lipids, nucleic acids, secondary compounds that can help with these applications, but also they release for the extracellular media also other compounds that we can isolate and use for different approaches.
Mm-hmm. And how can you even bring algae from the sea or from the water to the lab? I can't really imagine how it works.
Well, actually, it's quite simple, because algae, they're really easy to grow. So basically, we need water. In this case, when we think about ocean, salt water. And then we just need to add some simple minerals, so simple inorganic compounds. And then we need light. Obviously, because algae are like the plants, so they produce photosynthesis. So we need some source of light. It can be sunlight or artificial lights. It depends on our conditions and where we are working with. And then aeration. So the air that can be used also with CO2 to promote the photosynthesis, or just normal air. So usually we use the so-called bioreactors that we can do like a lab scale or we can eventually doing like a large scale production in these very type of bioreactors. It depends on the strain that we are working on. So basically it's like this. So it's quite simple compared with the growth of plants, for example, that we can also use for this kind of applications, because the algae will grow so much faster, and we don't need like arable lands to put these bioreactors. And also, like, as in comparison with bacteria, we don't need to add sources of sugars that they need to grow. So it's quite simple. Obviously, you can just need some optimization, because the algae are all different among them, so we need to optimize this process in a way. But then it's quite simple when we compare with other organisms or with other natural products. It's cheap also to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm. Great. So can microalgae only be used for cosmetics, or are there also other fields of application? What's the potential of algae?
Absolutely, there's a lot of fields of potential applications. So starting by the food, I think we all tried algae somehow, or in the sushi, like the macro algae. So the
yeah,
algae.
Love it.
or like the micro algae. So then we have spirulina, chlorella, that maybe you would also all try like in smoothies or in cakes. So it's also quite common nowadays to try. And to have it in food. But there's many other applications that have been being really invested a lot of research, for example, for the use of algae for biofuels, like biodiesel, bioethanol is also like a big trend nowadays. But also for feed, like for the aquaculture, for example, is quite used already, algae. But then also more like in health-related applications, for example, as nutraceuticals, because it has like as a vitamin supplements, omega-3 fatty acids. So all these compounds that several different strains and species can produce. Also as pharmaceuticals, because also of their like antimicrobial, anti-tumor, anti-obesity, there's a lot of different examples that some of them are already being commercialized, others are like in in trials or being studied, but there's really a lot of application on this.
Wow, sounds great. There are several families of algae. You mentioned that already. Do they all have roughly the same properties, or are there major differences? Which algae do you use for which products, for example?
Yes, this is really, really different. I mean, they have algae. When we say the word algae, it actually is like is an informal term for a large and diverse group of organisms that obviously have something in common, like this ability to perform photosynthesis as the plants. But then we can, what I mean with these is like, so they use carbon dioxide and light to then to produce the oxygen and the energy in the form of sugar that they need to grow. And then when we say algae, we include like the macro algae, so the big ones that usually we find in the beach. And but also like the microalgae, so the microscopic algae, and that includes diatoms and microalgae, and then also the cyanobacteria. So there's more simple. That's why they also have the name of bacteria on it. And that's actually what my research is more focused on, is on cyanobacteria. So they're more like simple, simple organisms. The cells are more are less complex than the microalgae.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to cosmetics and your research in particular. An important ingredient for cosmetics is the cyanoflan. I hope I pronounced it right.
That's perfect.
Which is extracted from algae. Can you explain what is cyanoflan and what does it do exactly?
Yes, of course. So, cyanoflan is one of these compounds that are like being secreted from the cells. So it's not like inside the cells as many other compounds that are being used. So it's completely like 100% released by the cells. So the surrounding of the cells, or the so-called extracellular medium. So this is like means that it's really easy then to isolate, or easier in comparison to the compounds that are inside the cells. And then basically what we have is here like is like a complex polymer, because it's like it's composed by different molecules. So we have basically we have 9 different sugars, we have proteins, we have sulfate groups. So it's quite of a complex polymer, which brings some difficulties in the characterization, but at the same time it also brings in a lot of potential and to be worked with and for several different applications.
Before you mentioned that microalgae cosmetics do have like anti-aging and skin protection effects. How does that even work?
Yes. The case of in cyanoflan in particular, we have been studied for different applications. So not only for that, because since I was previously in a more health related institute, we work. Also like for as using cyanoflan as a drug delivery system, for example, because it's like really, as I said, like a really big and complex molecule. So it can work to deliver like functional proteins, vitamins, whatever we want to our skin or to other parts of our body. We also study different applications as, for example, as a coating for medical devices with anti-adhesive properties. So that means that we already know that it can form films that we prevent like the adhesion of bacteria or fungi that can lead us to infections. And we also study cyanoflan as a biomaterial for wound healing. And we were checking also here within these tests the possibility of being their effects as antioxidants and anti-inflammatory effects. So it means that cyanoflan as biopolymer has all these properties that are new already, starting focus on cosmetics. So like this capability of improving like the barrier function of the skin to form these films that prevent the infections, and also can then using this molecule to maximize and like stabilize all the emulsion, so the so-called rheology modifier, so to have these different textures of the final product, as I mentioned before. And with all of these, also can have these bioactivities that you mentioned. So it means that it's capable of kind of like remove free radicals that exist. So this is part of the problem that leads to the aging of the skin. And so all of this is important as a final ingredient with this dual application, like with functional functionality that I mentioned at the beginning, that algae can be used for. So this property, the final properties of the different cosmetics products that we have, and also the bioactivity for the improving our skin. So we have both both properties here in Sanoflan.
So green cosmetics and good for our skin. I like it. And how can you commercialize it as ingredient in skincare products? How can you implement it in the industry?
Yeah, so first of all, and that's what I'm doing now, I need to validate all of these data, because there's obviously first we start by doing all these tests at the lab scale. So it's like a small scale and with some tests that we can do in our lab. But then we need to validate and to follow like the regulation, obviously, that exists, and do the proper tests to validate all of these properties that I mentioned regarding Sanoflan. And for that purpose, I'm working with a CRO, so a contract research organization that are experts in this field and can validate all of these results. So the performance of the Sanoflan, the bioactivity of the Sanoflan, but also like the compatibility with other ingredients, obviously, because we're going to have a final formulation. So we need to make sure that it's compatible and stable with all of these compounds that that we need to have in our final formulation. So also safety tests. So I know already that Sanoflan is biocompatible, as we called, so that hasn't have any kind of irritation problem from our skin, for example. So these tests were already done also in like in humans. So I already know that Sanoflan doesn't have any kind of these issues, but there's still some validation tests that needs to be performed. So that's one part of it. The other part is to maximize and optimize its production in a large scale production, because so far I had been working like continuously producing at a lab scale. It's already been performed to pilot scale production in with a company also experts in the production of microalgae. And now during this year, we're gonna even go further. So production in a bigger scale. The idea is to be able to produce until the end of the year 1 kilo of Sanoflan. So that's important to have all of these stabilized and being able to maximize this, like the yields, so the amount of Sanoflan that I can reach at the end. And that's really all. I have to have all of these results to be able then to implement my own production one day. That's my plan in the future. And be able to commercialize it as a raw material, let's say, then to the formulators. So then to the final companies that will implement Sanoflan in their own final formulations and then selling to the final consumer.
Mm-hmm. Are there already examples where microalgae have been commercialized for cosmetics?
Yes. So there are already several examples, mostly like in skincare. Mm-hmm. Skincare, like as this I said, like to remove the free radicals, to contribute to the anti-aging of the skin, also to boost the collagen. There are also these applications, but it also being used for sun care, for example, or hair care. as conditioners and also like anti-inflammatory for the scalper, and as hydrating masks, for example. So for example, common examples can be alginates. I think it's a lot of people may know because it helps to retain the moisture that we need our skin, and also is being used as emulsion stabilizer. There's also another interesting example. It's the hyaluronic acid, because it's some acid that exists already in different cosmetics from with compounds from algae. And basically, this is like a commercial designation for a mixture of sugars of different compounds that have been produced by algae and is known already to have anti-aging effects. So there's just some examples that are already being commercialized. But what is interesting is all these algae that I could mention and that you could know or not, they are all different. So it's really interesting because there's really a lot of algae already commercial available or still under development as the one that I work with. But they are going to be all kind of difference. There will be always differences. Not all the sugars are the same, or the proteins or the final polymers, they are going to be all different. So we always need to test all of these things. So there's not like a tailor-made approach here. So there's everything needs to be tested again, and to make sure that we have this bioactivity or we have these applications, it's really important to perform every time all the tests. You cannot just assume as it's like it's coming from algae that is going to be the same, or the final amounts that we need, the formulations, like to be able to be effective in our skin, we cannot assume that it's going to be the same as another algae. So all of this needs to be tested again.
I saw that the European Commission proposed 23 actions to fully harness the potential of algae in Europe in 2022. Is there enough algae for all that? Do we have all the algae that is needed?
Definitely. I mean, there's really a lot of algae that's already being explored. There's for sure a lot more that we still don't even know about it, like in the nature, because they can exist anywhere, you know. I mean, they are more, we know more the one that exists in the aquatic ecosystems, like in the ocean or in the rivers or the lakes, but it's also, they also can exist in the soil, that in extreme environments, they really can exist anywhere. So there's plenty for sure that we still don't even know that they exist. And the ones that we exist, they're still that we already know, and a lot of them are already approval, you know, like under all the regulations in Europe, in the States, like for human consumption and for all of this. But still under the ones that are already approved and being commercialized, for sure, there's still other compounds that we still be able to isolate further or to optimize in a way for in some application. And for example, when I mentioned cyanoflan, I'm not doing any kind of genetic or chemical modification, anything. This is like all the properties, as I mentioned, is like natural within cyanoflan. But then if we still add even like some kind of alterations, we can even have other applications or other approaches that we still don't even know. So there's really a lot of potential still. And there's still a lot of research and investment that we can put in this area for sure, because the potential is just... it's just amazing. But here, usually the issue is having like enough products. So being able to really do this large scale production that I mentioned in a way that is economically feasible. And that in some cases, in some algae and for some applications, it can still be a problem. So this is still need a lot of effort being put here in the majority of cases to be known as economically feasible. And this is something I want to mention, because it's also my case, because I said that cyanoflan is completely extracellular, so it's completely being secreted by the cells. That means that I still have the cell, intact cells, that I can use for other approaches. And that was something that eventually I went through, and we already studied and published all the composition and that the cells that are producing cyanoflagellin has. And then we have like all these proteins and vitamins and minerals and sugars and fatty acids that other microalgae also have. And for example, the spirulina, that one is really common. And so here we have the... We call these like that we can implement like a biorefinery approach. That means that we can have like a multi-product stream. So in my case in particular, but there's many other cases that are being studied in this way. So when we can have the extracellular media, when we have the cyanoflagellin for all these applications that I already mentioned, but also the cells that we can use as a feed, for example, as for aquaculture, for the biofertilizer, for example, something that I didn't mention before that can also be used in the agriculture. It can be used even now specific in the culture that I'm working with to extract pigments with different colors. For example, one pigment that I already work with is a blue pigment. It calls phycocyanin. And so can be easily extracted from the cells. And so it's blue, it means that we can dye like foods, textile, which is really interesting and is not common at all in nature, but is even already being studied, this pigment in other cultures, in other cells, and it's known already that can have also like antioxidant properties. So I mean, I could just keep forever talking about all of the of the possible applications and all of these future perspectives, which well, you can tell that I really believe on, and there's still a lot of things that we can test and discover for sure.
Let's quickly talk about the ACIP spin-in fellowship, because you have experience with it. It means that your expertise was brought into ACIP, into the ACIP research program because of the topic you're doing research on. Can you just quickly tell me what is your experience with ACIP spin-in fellowship, and yeah, what do you think about it?
It has really been great, this experience. So the moving into Austria, so completely different culture than Portugal, also related with algae culture and biotechnology culture is completely different. And this spin-in with ACIP gave me the opportunity to bring in my own project, to escalate in a way and to look for more partnership and funding, which I could find some private funding actually to be able to escalate this project and to with the perspective of creating a startup. So here I found the right ecosystem to be able to scale up in this way. And a lot of different collaborations that I could also try to implement and to grow this idea. One day really believing that it can enter the markets. And this experience have me helping doing that exactly.
Mm-hmm. At the end, some personal questions for you. What question would you most like answered related to your research? Is there something that is like so interesting to you and you just want to find out?
Well, in my case, at this point, I really want to see this in the markets, because I really believe on cyanoflagellin. I mean, as you can see, I believe in algae in general, but in this particular case, I really believe that we can, that we are seeing like a new biopolymer, as many others exist, but there's still markets for all of them, because there's so many different products that we use in our daily lives. So I really believe that there's market for all of these solutions. And I really hope that all these validation tests go through and have no problems on the scaling up production. And one day I can help and do it myself and implement this in the markets. That will be my main aim.
At the end, what advice would you give to someone who wants to get into the same industry, the same area of research as you do? Do you have any advice for educational career paths?
Well, the best advice that I can give, I think, is not giving up. Because I've been, since I finished my PhD and today, I'd been struggling a lot with the continuation of the funding, which is always a problem in the research, in everywhere, as we know. And I was almost giving up, honestly, before coming here. And today, I'm really glad that I didn't do it. So we need to, if we believe in something, and I mean, I obviously really believe, and also in research, I think is like, it's really interesting, and every day is different from another, which is also really important for me. And if we really believe on what we are doing, we really need to look for other opportunities. Yes, maybe we're gonna have to move abroad as I did, which is has other personal points that doesn't matter, but maybe you need to go a little bit further. We need to go outside of comfortable zone, as talking with investors, for example, something that I had to do. And but it's part of the job if we really like it and we really want to pursue it. That's what I want to mention.
Great. Thank you so much. Really inspiring talk, really interesting topic. Thank you for your time. And I guess we're going to hear from you.
Hope so. Thank you very much, Sophie.